Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
How you doing, folks? How's your week going? How's your week going, Rob?
My week is great. I didn't come from a Renaissance fair, so I'm assuming you're doing better than me, right?
Huzzah. Huzzah, Rob. It was the best time ever. We had such an amazing time. We actually went 2 days this year. Now, once again, I want to just, especially for my family members and friends, that it was completely safe. I was so impressed by the management. Now, I found out these are, a fun fact, only two Renaissance fairs in the entire United States are still going on, and Pennsylvania is one of them. It's all outdoors. They are beyond strict when it came to wearing masks. I was so impressed. Like, it really does work if you can really make an authoritative figure, like the managers, say, you will not enter. We saw people on social media get mad at them for this because they said, well, if we have to wear a mask, we're not going. Good. Great.
So goodbye.
And everyone from the performers to the people working there, and it wasn't any of that fake mask stuff where like they're behind the counter getting you your beer and they're like under their nose. No. It was awesome. It was really, really wonderful. And then people really could embrace it. You know, we dressed up, of course. And so we have, you know, we would try to include the mask in our theme, and people had like full chainmail and they had like their mask. It was great. It was really, really cool. Well, now with Game of Thrones and all these other sort of fantasy type things, you know, it's an excuse for people to sort of live out their best like lives. And we did. And I got to see my beloved Don Juan and Miguel. They remembered us. They thanked us for the podcast. It was amazing. No, they really did. That's how they remember us. Cause I'm like, I'm the Broadway guy who talked about you on my podcast. And they're like, you're the guy. It was their entertainment. Once again, there was 30 people in the audience. Cause it was, you know, they had to reduce the numbers that could enter the, you know, the grounds, but giving you three shows a day, full vaudeville jokes. It is totally rooted in that vaudeville style. I talked about it at the end with them when we, you know, get a little picture with them. And I love that history. They know it. They wrote these jokes in that style on purpose. And yet I'm sure most people in the audience really have no idea that history, but it makes me enjoy it that much more. It's funny. I just had a great time. So it was a wonderful, wonderful time.
I am so happy that you went. And first of all, going back to the masks at this Renaissance fair, if not for you, for Don Juan and Miguel, don't you want to protect these national treasures?
I'm telling you, they've been doing it for decades. Decades they've been doing this. We got to Don Juan, he's in his 60s. Come on. He's still whipping that whip around and he's, you know, hitting things all right. But come on. He's got to be around next year.
And you're selfish and you're not going to have that happen. You're not going to wear a mask to protect Don Juan and Miguel.
Get out.
Nobody wants you here. Now, I think I've asked you this on a previous podcast, but I'll ask again. Like, when you say podcast, do they pretend like they don't know what that is?
Because they're like so in character.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. You know, a lot of the performers, they all stay in character. They all speak. They say good morrow and fare thee well and, you know, pray thee and put these instead of whatever. When you talk to them at the end, they can tell that we are, shall I say, you know, of the performing class, let's just say, because they also are involved with directing and they write a lot of the material for all the other festivals because they've been doing it for so long. The guy that plays Miguel, his name's Doug. He directs at Sterling, which is, I know, I'm not even kidding you. He's a director. He's got a theater degree. I talked about it last time. His character is Miguel, but he is Doug. He's Polish from Chicago.
It's the Doug that got me. I'm sorry. It's the Doug that got me.
But like Doug knows, like, they were kind of like in the club a little bit, but so they let it down a little bit to, you know, to say, hey, you know, like that's, thank you. You know, like really,
hey,
thank
peasants.
You.
I am so happy you have enjoyed the merriment. If you enjoy it, look at the parchment. You will find our Venmo.
You will love it, Rob. I think you
would. Of course I would.
Love it. I think I cannot wait to bring you sometime. We're gonna make a trip. I'm going to bring you to Mount Gretna, our little also favorite place.
I also have gluten-free grog.
So listeners, anyone who has ever been to a Ren Faire, you guys know that he is joking, but he's actually fitting in perfect. So that is exactly that attitude and energy I would like you to bring.
I will say, you know, for the first 20 minutes, I would be the biggest cynic. And then by minute 21, I'd be running the place. Yay! bring me John Juan.
Once you realize how committed people are and how into it and like, it's like anything. You just subscribe. Just get rid of the inhibitions. You know, just if you wear normal clothes, you will feel like you're missing out a little bit. And so it's just, you want to subscribe. You're right. Exactly right. That's how I was. I did not subscribe the first time I ever went. I was like, well, Sutton's dressing up and that's really nice. But no, the big joke with Ren Faires is every year you add a little bit more and add a little bit more, then all of a sudden you're like in a full chain of mail. The sword that's tied.
I like that journey. I will be honest with you. I would love to go to a Renaissance fair, but I've had a bad, situation with a Renaissance type scenario once. And I shall tell you, yay, verily. One of my very good friends from high school got married and he said it was a Renaissance wedding. And we all, it was very odd to me because he had never, for all these years I had known him, I was like, he's never mentioned anything about Renaissance. So we schlepped to the middle of this park. It was like the hottest day of the year in LA. It was like 110 degrees out and we're all wearing the velour and everything. And we're like sweating. And like, he sent like they put rotisserie chickens on wooden platters and they're like, eat with your hands, sweating and dying. And finally I asked him, I said, why Renaissance? And he was like, oh, we're trying to start a business that, caters Renaissance weddings. And we didn't have any Renaissance photos. And I was like, and I'm going to tell you also why I was really emotionally
suckered
upset
into that, boy. Yeah, yeah.
When I went to buy my Renaissance costume, it looked like every other Renaissance costume, except the man told me, oh, if you put on a ring, it means that you're the messenger. And that's a pretty high priority job in the Renaissance world. He's like, so this outfit comes with the outfit and a ring. And I paid like $50 for this ring because I had to be important. So then I went and I put the fucking outfit on. And guess what happened? There was no ring in the outfit. So I wasn't the messenger. I was a normal person. And I can't be a normal person. It's like the Fantastics. Please, God, don't let me be normal. As I was literally in a porta potty putting on my restoration outfit in the line.
I was like, and sound cue for the opening song. No, you will not have that experience when we go to the Ren Faire. You will
can
not.
I,
you will,
can I be
will,
the messenger?
We will get you. You will. We will lift you up and you will be. You will
don't
be
lift me up. You're going to hurt yourself.
Someone really special. It's going to be awesome. I mean, you're special outside of the Ren Faire clothes. I mean, don't get me wrong, but.
Be the messenger? I can be the messenger.
Sure, but you got to have the ring. We're going to get the good ring.
Yeah, I know. The ring. I know. Not going to make that mistake again.
Oh, boy.
Anyway. Oh, hey, I've been doing... sorry.
No, go. We both... Good transition. What were you going to say? What have you been doing? Go for it.
You know what I've been doing? I've been watching... Because I had never really watched these when I was growing up. I was watching some of the Tonys from the early 90s. And I'm going to go on record and say, you know who the best Tony host ever was? Liza Minnelli.
Yeah, yeah.
She could act, she could sing, she could dance.
She did, yeah.
She was funny, she had patter, and she was a triple threat. So my vote's for Liza. Oh, yeah.
What year was that? 92? 90? No, what was it?
90.
What shows were present? We'll know by the shows because only like three shows were in the early 90s.
I think, you know, yeah, exactly. I think it was
the Silent Year, or was it Will Rogers Follies year?
I'm pretty sure it was 93 because I think Glenn Close did 92 and then Liza did 93. Because I think I remember her introducing Blood Brothers.
That's specific. Yeah.
It's Mickey.
It's a great show. It's great.
I wish I
could. Billy Russell.
That's it.
It's always high and low.
Yeah.
Like, first we should mention what is going on this weekend. Folks, we are back in business and ain't it grand. We're going to have a little Broadway trivia night this Saturday at 8:00 Eastern Standard Time. You know the routine. Rob's going to tell you exactly what you want to do when you want to come visit us, but you know exactly what you got to do. And the theme for this week is divas. Rob, tell us with the information on how we can participate on that.
It's hard to be the diva. That's rule number one.
Amen to that.
Right? Thank you, Starmites. So once again, you can Venmo $5 to Robert-Schneider-5, the number 5. That's on Venmo or PayPal, robwschneider@gmail.com. Or all of our proceeds this week are going to the Deborah Hospital Foundation, which does fantastic work. And if you donate to them directly, just take a screenshot and send that to us, and we'll send you the code on Venmo. I mean, on Zoom, because that's how we do it on Zoom. And like Kevin was saying, the theme is divas. So get ready. Get ready.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun. So again, 8 o'clock this Saturday. Come say hi to us. I want to actually give a shout out to one of our listeners. You know, Rob, we've mentioned this from time to time, but one of my favorite things about doing this podcast over the years has been, of course, meeting new people, finding new favorite things that, you know, we introduce, but then people share with us. And a lot of times, you know, I'm on social media, I'm on Twitter, and more than I am on anything else, really. And usually there's the same set of people that I kind of interact with on Twitter that are the podcast folk. But I love when we hear from someone that maybe I've never heard of after all these years, and you're like, wow, there is more than a couple of people that listen to us. After my Lady in the Dark favorite thing, Paul Rivenberg reached out to me and said he was reading a book about the biography of the musical. So this is called, I just want to thank him for sending this to me. He read it and then he sent it to me. So this will be a future favorite thing at some point. But thank you, Paul. This is Lady in the Dark, the biography of a musical by Bruce McClung. And I'm very excited to learn more about it, because you guys know that I became very, very fascinated and slightly obsessed with Lady in the Dark, the Moss Hart Kurt Weill musical. So thank you. Thank you, Paul. And thank you to all listeners whenever, you know, reaching out to us and saying hello and sharing your favorite things with us, because it just helps us out and we love it so much. It's fun.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah. So thank you.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
May I also not send a thank you, well, a thank you, but a mazel tov to one of our listeners,
Yes.
young Charles Kirsch.
Charles.
Just had his bar mitzvah this past weekend.
Hey, that's wonderful. Mazel tov.
And so cool. I was invited to go to the mitzvah. It was a Zoom mitzvah. So Charles did great. He read the Torah beautifully. And it was wonderful, because as you were waiting for people to come in, they played the Carousel Waltz. And beautiful. Then then at the end, there was a slideshow of his, like him over the years, you know, 0 to 13, which was adorable. And the song underneath it, Once Upon a Time from All American.
Oh, that's such a good song. Good choice.
Really, little 13-year-old Charles, his favorite show is All American. So as a mitzvah gift, I bought him the original poster of it and had it framed and sent to him. And I had to call his mother, and I was like, before I buy this, I said, does he already have an All-American poster? And I wish that was a question I could ask more teenagers.
Or anybody, Rob.
Or anybody.
Literally.
Does he already?
Anybody. Like, that's amazing.
Does he already have an All-American poster? So anyway, he did beautifully. Oh, mazel tov, Charles. This was a big deal. Today you are a man. I was going to send him Bar Mitzvah Boy, the album, and then I was like, he shouldn't be punished.
No, there's no reason. This is a happy situation.
It's a happy time. Hey, who's got a favorite thing?
You know what? I'm really looking forward to my favorite thing.
Take it away.
I have a person for my favorite thing, and this is this woman has come up a couple times in interviews. I think she hasn't come up more in interviews because her career was actually cut very, very short. But there are some really cool anecdotes about her. There's a couple, there's a recording that I found that is really, really interesting, that's streaming, that I really want everyone to see. But this, I just want to lift up this name because she had a career through the 50s. And a 61 was her last show. And then things changed, and I'll explain that in a minute. The woman, and I could tell you her biggest credit, because unfortunately, she was always sort of the sidekick. She was always the funny one, the brassy voice, the throaty belt. She had a real, like, strength on stage. She played, you know, she was also, like Karen Morrow, who I'm not talking about, but seems like I am, she was attached, unfortunately, to a lot of, let us say, lesser known shows, like Butrio Square. Like, no one's really doing a revival of that 1952 little number. But she was in Brigadoon. She was in O Captain with Tony Randall. She was in Whoop Up. She was in Donnybrook. And then her most well-known show, which was in the middle of those credits, was Cleo in The Most Happy Fellow. So I'm talking about Susan Johnson. It's amazing. Whenever someone mentions the name Susan Johnson, they're always like a little starry-eyed, you know. Whenever we have people that we interviewed for the pod, you know, they always look up to her, you know, if they were of a certain generation, and they just respected that the hell out of her. She just was so beloved. But unfortunately, her career, when she was 34 years old, you guys, 34, after all these, you know, leads and sidekicks, you know, big, you know, moments, she was nominated for a Tony Award for O Captain. I mean, that's impressive. But she was doing summer stock like you do. And she was riding a moped, a scooter, like a motor scooter, in summer stock, filming something. And she was in traffic, and there was an accident, and she was thrown from it. And she suffered like a horrible, like brain damage, like a cracked skull. And I read an interview from the Los Angeles Times in 1988. They interviewed her, and she talked about it. And she said she was out for 2 weeks. She woke after 2 weeks. She couldn't sing. She had ear damage, so it affected, you know, what the sound that she could make. She had throat damage, so she couldn't make. So imagine, you're at 34 years old. It just stopped. It just completely stopped. And it's just crazy to me that happened. And there are a couple clips on YouTube. Theater lovers that know Susan Johnson are very aware of the clips from, like, most the black and white Ed Sullivan, Most Happy Fella. And I'm sure we'll post those and to remind ourselves of this, and a couple others. But the good news is she got married to a former pro baseball player. She moved to California. She raised her child. She did all the things you do. And then she sort of slowly made her way back into stage. If you were in California in Sacramento area, and you went to a place called a dinner theater called Garbo's in around 1982, she started doing some dinner theater. And I think, you know, using her voice a little bit more. In 1990, there was that production of Follies that was in Los Angeles with Karen Morrow, speaking of. She sang the song, That Woman Is Me. That was, you know, Susan Johnson's back on stage. There is a clip of that on YouTube. You know, it's really wild if, you know, when you get to know her voice, which is just, it's like, she was an original belter before they taught belting, right? Like Ethel Merman was that way. But her voice, unlike Ethel Merman, had almost more color, more nuance. When I mentioned this recording, I want you guys to listen to it. Really, you can hear just her personality. And it's like when people lament, like, oh, they just don't sing like they used to because everyone's so trained now. That's the voice you're talking about. Like any young singer who's like a beltress, go listen to Susan Johnson and listen to that nuance and what she does with the lyric. It's unbelievable. But the cool thing to sort of that brought her name back out to a lot of people, because in the article that I read from the Times in 88, she said people had listening parties playing her songs because they thought she was dead. Like people before the internet, you didn't have any way of looking up. I remember the old show music magazines. At the very back of them, you would have Max Prio reaching out to people saying, hey, has anyone ever heard from Susan Johnson? And then people would write in by hand and saying, yes, I saw them. Blah, 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 blah. So, but Scott Rudin, a famous Broadway producer, who, as you all know, he really loved Broadway. That was in his roots. That's why the Hello Dolly, one of the reasons why he really wanted that to be an old throwback to what it used to be. Well, he remembered Susan Johnson when he was producing Sister Act 1 and Sister Act 2, the movies. And so he was collecting all these old grand dames of the musical theater to play the nuns, the older nuns, you know, people like Carmen Alvarez, people like Mary Wick, you know, like just amazing, amazing, like women. And he found Susan Johnson and put her, those are like the two big films that she ever did. She did one other TV movie with Richard Kiley on ABC. And that's really it. But I just love the fact that like Scott Rudin remembered her. She brought her back and she got to have, you know, got to be on the screen again. But the recording that I want you guys to check out, I was shocked to find this on Spotify. I assume it's on Apple. Please forgive me. I did not look on eBay or other places. So I don't know the context around how this recording was made, but what you want to type in is Susan Johnson's previously recorded live performances. And that's how it's billed on the Spotify. It's not a playlist, it's an album. Listeners, if you guys know more about it, and you beat me to doing the research on it, because really I didn't dig into how that was made. That can be another thing. But really, I just want you to listen to it. I just want you to hear her because it's a lot of live clips. It's a lot of clips of her singing from like Donnybrook and of course, you know, other shows that she did. But then a lot of her singing other songs that you've never heard her sing before. And because it's live, because there's no, you know, there's no digital altering, you know, it's either good or it's not. And it is. It's so good. And so if you are a fan of Susan Johnson, I highly recommend it. It's like 26 songs, but it's the way they used to do songs in the 50s and 60s. Like if you ever watch a Frank Sinatra concert or Lena Horne, you know, a minute and a half, 2 minutes, get out. You know, let's not do eight verses. It's just like, just the goods, you know, and then move on to the next song. And you really get to have, it's 45 minutes of music, but 26 songs. Anyway, so that's my favorite thing is Susan Johnson, the great, great, great singer, and nuanced performer that we, whose career got cut, you know, way, way, way too short. And she would have been someone that would have been just so fun to talk to on our podcast. So at least we can celebrate her here.
Agreed. Agreed. What a great choice. Susan Johnson is the one and only.
Thank you.
Yeah. She's got an incredible voice. Mine is going to put a smile on your face. I so hope. I just discovered this and it made me laugh so hard. I'm a huge fan of Mario Cantone, the one and only Mario Cantone, who is, first of all, a brilliant stand-up comedian. You probably know him from his appearances on The View. If you were a New Yorker, he used to be on the children's show Steam Pipe Alley, which was one of the most bizarre children's shows you've ever seen in your life. If you remember, they played an adult game with the kids called Where's Sammy's Eye? Yeah, where Sammy Davis Jr. lost his eye and the kids had to find it. It was a bizarre show. But in addition to that, I mean, he's also a brilliant actor. You know, he was in Love, Valor, Compassion. He took over the Nathan Lane role in that. And he did a one-man show on Broadway called Laugh Whore, which is just incredible. And he's still on The View a lot. He shows up on The View a lot. But I was going down a Mario Cantone rabbit hole, and I found a stand-up clip from him that's only 5 minutes long. It's a tight five, as they like to say in the business, a tight five. And so you're going to search, and there's a reason you're watching this. You're going to search Mario Cantone stand-up on Broadway and Michael Jackson. That's the whole title there. Mario Cantone stand-up on Broadway and Michael Jackson. His five-minute set is dedicated to Broadway commercials. It's done in the early 90s, and he's obviously at like a major comedy club. Where I kind of have a feeling he was probably the only person talking about the Man of La Mancha commercial and how ridiculous it is. And he literally dedicates his whole set pretty much to our wonderful Grand Hotel lady. I loved it. If you know who I'm talking about, I'll see it two more times. My husband works
Rest in
the
peace.
Area. Rest in peace, Paula Gagliano. We say a prayer to her. It is so funny and it's right up our alley. He covers, it must have been the early 90s because he covers Sheena E. in Man of La Mancha. He covers Grand Hotel Lady. He covers How Much He Hated Cats, which apparently was, you know, a big one at the time. And he also does a whole thing on how stupid Grand Hotel is. It is a tight five only about Broadway commercials. And for that alone, I think Mr. Cantone needs to be appreciated, celebrated, and acknowledged. So once again, you're going to go onto YouTube. You're going to type in Mario Cantone stand-up on Broadway and Michael Jackson. I will say some of the humor here would have been great as it is 20 years ago. I don't know, in 2020, some people might be triggered towards the end as he's talking about Michael Jackson. I find it absolutely hysterical. And it's only got 598 views, folks. Let's get it up to 1,000 by the end of the week, okay? Thank you so much. But yeah, the great, great Mario Cantone, who I would love to have on this show because he's obviously such a huge Broadway nerd. I'd love to know what shows he was seeing growing up. So
totally.
Mario, if you're listening, help us, please. We love you. And of course, this Katharine Hepburn is one of the best Katharine Hepburns you'll ever see in your life. And if you've never seen Laugh Whore, that should be a separate favorite thing. If you've never seen Laugh Whore, most of it, I think it was filmed for HBO, but most of it is on YouTube. And it's just great. Just great.
I love it.
God, he's a genius. But I particularly liked his Grand Hotel making fun of Paul Gagallo.
You know, there are not a lot of comedians use the Broadway as a subject matter for their fodder. So it's really nice when they do. I'm trying to think of other times that anyone has ever done anything that, I mean, I'm sure that there's someone's must have Hamilton in their act somewhere, but we just don't have that anymore. No one really uses that.
I'm sure there's like someone uses like Hamilton as a punchline or Cats as a punchline, but to dedicate an entire set to Paulie Gagallo, the Grand Hotel cafeteria worker who became an overnight sensation because she loved it. Two more times. My husband works in this area. Is still genius.
Legacy.
And he's also making fun of the Man of La Mancha commercial with Sheena E. I have not seen this commercial. So I'm going to go on the hunt because apparently there's a big like Jersey guy in it who's like Sheena E is hot. Like that's like his, like, you know, when they remember how they used to do that, you would interview people coming out of the theater, like Grand Hotel.
Right. And it was real. It wasn't produced. I mean, they really did interview people.
No, my favorite one before the quarantine happened was, have you seen The Beautiful Ones?
No.
Where it was so clear. This is horrible. It was so clear. It was like, we're aiming specifically for Bridge and Tunnel at this point. So it was always like everyone looked like the Real Housewives of New Jersey. Like, and they were just like, I loved it. Carole King is amazing. And you could tell they're all wasted.
Vinny. What did we see? What was it called again? Pretty? Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. It was great.
Vinny.
It was great.
Vinny and I have to go. We have to get back to Paramus and hope to God the kids didn't kill themselves while we're gone. And if they did, let me say good riddance. I can't pay for college. So that's...
That's perfect. Yeah, that's exactly.
That's Connie DeChico from Paramus, everybody. A new character who I'm sure will show up on the podcast.
I hope so.
I'm sure a couple of times more she's going to put all the other impressions to rest.
Paramus.
Yeah. I went to the mall. I went to Forever 21. It's so great. The kids always called me when I go there. And I said, I could be old enough to be your mother. I still slept with one of the managers. Don't tell Vinny.
It reminds me of the character of the mom from Bob's Burgers. And that character was based on this guy that, you know, it's a male identifier who plays the mom.
Oh, yeah.
He did all these YouTube clips beforehand where he plays his mom. And our favorite clip is yes. About the Christmas tree. Like, oh, look at the tree. Look at that tree. It's a nice tree. Oh, my tree. It's a whole montage.
Oh, he's great. Him.
And My Son Is Gay, that one where she's like, yes. My son is gay. My son is gay. Like, it's very...
it's so really good. What is... I feel so bad. What is that person's name? Because he's brilliant.
I can tell everybody because everyone's like, what are you guys talking about? Oh, yeah.
So while we're working here, if you're a fan of the animated series Bob's Burgers, which you should be because it's great. It also has guest voices by Kevin Kline and Megan Mullally. It's just absolutely a wonderful show. Yeah.
John Roberts. And if you just type in My Son Is Gay, because he's in drag, but he's not. I mean, he's got like maybe a little blush on his mom's glasses, his mom's wig, and that's it. But it is about his mom, you know, what he imagined his mom what it was like when after he told her that he was gay and what that journey was like for her.
My son's gay. My son's gay. I haven't watched
that. Gay. We're here. We're here. Just watch it. It's
good. All right. So you have a lot of work to do this weekend, don't you? You've got Susan Johnson. You've got Mario Cantone. Now you've got John Roberts.
John Roberts. Yeah, Roberts. John Roberts, who plays Linda Belcher in Bob's Burgers. But
so you've got an assignment. Yeah. And please join us for trivia on Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The theme is divas. All the money is going to the Deborah Hospital Foundation. We will see you all next week. See you in Paramus.
Bye, everyone. Hope you have a great weekend.
They're closing Pennies. There's a sale. They're closing it.
We're going to Kohl's.
I love Kohl's. All right, bye.
Good Kohl's.
All right, bye. Go to Kohl's.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings.
These are a few of my favorite things.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.